Welcome to the Moms in Prayer podcast, a place where we put our finger on the pulse of what's happening in the world today so we can better pray for and equip the next generation. Our focus will always be revival and spiritual awakening in our children, our schools, and our motherhood. We're so glad you're here with us. Let's get started. Welcome back, sweet friends. I'm so glad you can join us on the Moms in Prayer podcast. I'm your host, Leanine Heiss, and today we have as our guest today, Jonathan Pitts. He is the new president of For Girls Like You Ministry. And let me go ahead and tell you, he did not ever plan to be the president of an organization for tween girls. Today's show is especially moving as Jonathan shares the story of how God has led his family all along the way. Be warned that today's episode may need some Kleenexes because Jonathan's beautiful wife and my friend Winter Pitts went to be with the Lord about 6 months ago. But you do not want to miss the story of how God has led their family, both in ministry together and now as Winter has gone home to be with the Lord. A special thanks to all of you who are sharing the podcast. We're so grateful for that. There's going to be a drawing for a whole year's subscription to For Girls Like You magazine. You're going to want to head over to our social media platforms on Instagram, Facebook, and Twitter and find out how to register for that giveaway. I can't wait for you to meet our new friend, Jonathan Pitts. Well, Jonathan, welcome to the Moms in Prayer podcast.
I'm glad to be with you today.
It is so fun to finally get to meet you in person. Tell us a little about you and about your family.
Sure. I'm Jonathan Pitts. I'm a pastor in Franklin, Tennessee currently. I have four beautiful girls. My oldest daughter, Alina, is 14. I've got a 12-year-old named Caitlin. And I've got Cameron and Olivia. Cameron and Olivia are twins at 9 years old. And I have a beautiful wife, Winter Pitts, who I guess I'll always consider her to be my wife. She tragically passed away a little more than 7 months ago now. And we were married for 15 years and 27 days before she passed. And we built a family together, for which I'm really grateful. And I have deep gratitude for what God allowed us to have.
Yeah, your family is absolutely beautiful. But four girls is a handful, man. That is so much hair, first of all, and hormones all at the same time. So
yeah, in that order, too. The hair is definitely like the biggest deal. Like, one of the things I didn't realize, like with my wife did all their hair. And it's funny, I calculated on our 10-year anniversary that she saved us $27,000 in cost on hair savings because she actually did her own hair and she did our girls' hair. And that was when our twins were only about 2 years old. So I didn't even really calculate them in yet. So over the 15 years that we were married, she did an amazing job on all my girls' hair. I actually tried to convince her to do hair for a living. And she was like, no, I think I want to write. And I'm like, I don't know. You can make like decent money doing hair. And thankfully she won that argument. And the hormones are definitely raging, but, you know, it's a beautiful thing. And God's graced me to be able to be a dad that can handle it.
It's so fun. My husband and I have two girls smushed in the middle of two boys.
Awesome.
And they are both in middle school and giving us a run for our money right now. So
nice.
It's so good. Hey, well, you already began to introduce us to your wife, Winter, but she began a ministry called For Girls Like You. Tell us about For Girls Like You and her vision, how that started to take place. Shape.
Sure. So about 8 years ago now, almost, Winter just had this burning desire to basically create like a resource for Alina, our oldest girl at the time, who was almost seven. And she had just noticed there were like the resources for girls at that age, tween girls, especially mature tween girls, like in terms of reading ability was lacking. So there'd be like the Mommy and Me kind of more baby stuff. And there'd be like some tween stuff, but most of it was written by just people that had like a more mature outlook. She wanted something that would be fun, that would bless our girls and entertain them at the same time, but also teach them about God and teach them about the things that she knew that God cared about, that most, I think, from her perspective, that a lot of ministries would leave out, like a lot of like fashion and just things that are like kind of out of the box. So she sat down with a borrowed laptop and a 30-day copy of InDesign, like free trial of InDesign, and began to just create something that she was just calling a resource. And she'd end up borrowing two more laptops and downloading two more trials of InDesign before she was finished, and she created the first For Girls Like You magazine, which she didn't know at the time that it was a magazine. And you fast forward from there, she had like 20 people with the first magazine before it was a subscription thing, and that grew to a couple hundred, and that grew to about 1,000, and now we have about 3,500 subscribers, and we've got about 10,000 people that we distribute the magazine to every 2 months through various channels like churches and things like that. And she built this ministry for girls like you on a magazine, and really a prayer in the sense that she had no plan. Like, she just knew that she was doing what God had called her to do. She was just trusting God as she did it. And from there, God would just allow her and give her the opportunity to publish numerous other resources. She's published in a 5-year span about 10 different books and resources. So it's pretty incredible. She was a racehorse for the kingdom of God for like the 7 years that he wanted her to do that. And now she's gone, her resources live on. And really, in a lot of ways, not a lot of ways, in every way, she lives on through her resources. And it's quite the legacy, and I'm proud to be a part of it.
It's so incredible. I got to meet Winter at a couple of conferences. Oh, cool. And she is a tiny little smidge of a woman.
Yeah.
And mild spoken and about a mile of sass. She was so fun. We share an editor, you know that, Kathleen,
yeah,
for our books. And it was fun to have conversation together. I just love her and your ministry. It's just, for girls like you, is so important. Those girls need resources that are cool, not just dated or old school, but topics that apply to where they're at and things that they're talking about. Do you remember having conversations about that while Winter was beginning to develop the magazine?
Yeah. I mean, because for her, like, you know, Winter grew up a little girl with a mom and a grandmom that literally raised her on the fumes of their prayers, in the sense that her dad was a drug addict and just kind of really disconnected from her life, and grew up in the inner city of Baltimore. And so for her, like, she didn't realize that God was a God that loved every aspect of who she was. She thought it was like God loved the version of her that was in church, and God loved the version of her that was obedient. And so things like fashion or music or just name the thing that girls are interested in her mind, she divorced those things from God as a little girl. So for her, one of the things that she wanted to give to her 4 daughters, as she was discovering that God cared about every aspect of her, was a resource that would talk about God in every aspect. So I remember, like, one of the first things that she covered was Chuck Taylor's, which our girls didn't know what Chuck Taylor's were at the time, but Bobo's, in other words. Like, so she just did an article on the background of Chuck Taylor's, which has nothing to do with God, in the sense that, you know, they weren't designed for like kingdom purposes, but in every way, like, God created. God is a creator. So, like, he cares about things that are created, not just things that are Christian in terms of how we look at, you know, we look at the world. Like, we divide it, the sacred versus the secular. For God, everything's sacred. Anything can be sacred. And so for Winter, like, showing our girls the sacredness of anything and everything that obviously is holy and pure was a big deal. And so I remember just sitting down with her and ideizing around those things, and just how she would meet people. And just, I remember she met these 2 little girls that started making origami, and they made origami because they wanted to raise money for wells, and started out in Africa, I think. And then they began to raise money for wells kind of all over the world. And now their origami is in, like, prominent, well-known, high-end stores, and it's supporting, you know, just that very, like, God-sized vision that God gave them, that they just started doing in their living room, making this origami. And I remember Winter meeting, I think, their mom first, and just, like, jumping into their story and just watching stories like that unfold and covering stories like that to help other girls know that God's in the business of taking regular little girls and doing big things in their lives, just like her and just like so many. So,
well, God has certainly done out-of-the-box things with your family. I'm sure that when you guys got married, that you did not plan the twists and turns that were coming. Yeah. And many of our listeners have seen the film War Room. In fact, Moms in Prayer partnered with the Kendrick Brothers, mm-hmm, in the promotion of that great film. But your daughter Alina was in that film. She's that darling little girl, mm-hmm, that played the daughter in that film. So
Danielle Jordan was her name.
Danielle Jordan. So tell, yep, us, how did that come about? And, oh my goodness, when it did, how did that hit your family?
Yeah, it's funny because we didn't try any of this. Like, God's totally opened doors. And so Winter's first cousin, Priscilla Shire, she played the main character. And the Kendrick Brothers basically asked Priscilla, hey, do you know we're about to start, you know, doing casting calls for African-American girls to play your daughter between the ages, I think it was like 9 and 10. And they said, do you know anybody that, any actresses that would be interested? And she goes, no, but I have a niece. And so she said that to them, and then she calls Winter. Winter's at the soccer field. Alina's in a soccer game. She goes, hey, do you think Alina would ever be interested in acting? And Winter's like, sure. And leave it to Winter and Priscilla, just have this big faith and just trust that, like, a girl with no acting experience could land this role. And so what was beautiful is we'd watch Alina, who had just one opportunity to send in one video, and video after video that she would send in, they'd say, execute this or execute that, and she'd execute it. And then she taught herself to do like front handsprings because they needed an athletic girl and all this stuff. So she just owned it. And I was like, I'm kind of a pessimist. Winter was the optimist in the family. So I was just like, oh, this isn't going to happen. This isn't going to happen. And Winter began praying about it and praying about it. And she would basically beat out a bunch of other little girls that auditioned for that role with professional acting experience. And what's beautiful to me as a dad is that she would become like, even like the non-Christian critics that would criticize the movie had nothing but really cool things to say about her ability to act. And so she did it, she owned it. And God just, what's really cool is that Winter would start for Girls Like You a few years before Alina landed that role in War Room. But when War Room came, we had a daughter that was in a movie, and then God would kind of use her part in that movie to even bless kind of more of what Winter was doing. And it just started working in tandem and working together in a way that only the Holy Spirit can bring about. So yeah, it's fun. Yeah. Fun days.
Only God can do stories like that.
Yeah.
Were you praying with Alina at the time about what God would bring about as War Room released?
Yeah. I mean, one of the things I've always done, you know, and it's, I'm just such a dad, because for me, like, I'm always looking for, and I think this is my role. Like, I'm always looking for, okay, what is God doing in this, you know? And yeah. So I've said to Alina, and she's had a lot of opportunities since then, I always am talking to her about, you know, to whom much is given, much is required. And just the idea of like, your platform can only take you as far as your character is there to shore it up. And so we have lots of conversations like that. And sometimes she's like, come on, Dad, like more Bible, more of this, you know, but that's just my role. I feel like I've owned it. And I want to err on the side of making sure that my girls, not just Alina, but all four of my girls, know that whatever they do, that they're doing it for God's glory. And anything that they're doing that's not for God's glory is not a worthwhile thing. Like that's what God's called us to, his perfect will. If we're in his perfect will, then we're glorifying him. We're making him look awesome. We're bringing about kingdom stuff. So I'm always talking to her about that. And even more recently, she's doing a lot of singing, and God's just given her opportunity to do more of that. And that's kind of really her passion, her love. And so I'm just constantly reminding her, like, it's all about God's glory. And that's whether you're doing like quote unquote Christian film or non-Christian film, or Christian music, quote unquote, or non-Christian, because all of it can glorify God if you're submitted to him and you're in his will. So, yeah.
Mm-hmm. I saw her at IF Gathering, and
were there? Cool. I was there.
You were there. I was not at IF Gathering. Okay. I mean, I was watching online.
Yeah.
But that was pretty amazing. She's speaking into the lives of women who are older than her, and quite a stewardship. Alina and Winter wrote some books together. Tell us about those.
Sure. So after Winter, all of Winter's resources were really resources to help girls understand who God is, understand God's love. And when Alina got the role in War Room, a publisher came to us, Zondervan specifically. They were interested in doing, like, they do fiction series for Zonder kids. And they said, would you guys ever consider like doing a fiction series? Winter just being as spunky and feisty and as just like, having this big trust in God with very little time was like, sure, like, let's do that, you know, and asked Alina. What's funny is about a month before, maybe 2 months before, Zondervan even reached out. And they reached out very cold just through Winter's website. Like, they didn't know us from Adam. Before they reached out, Alina walked into Winter's bedroom one day and she goes, Mommy, I don't know if I'll ever write, but if I do, I have a name of a character. She had a specific name of a character that she wanted to be in a book. And they ended up using this name. And now I'm drawing a blank on the name, and I hate that I'm doing that, but I'll think of it in a second. But anyway, Alina jumped on board, and they basically began, Lina would write like little sections. And the series is called Lina in the Spotlight. And it's basically probably 60% real life, 40% made up stories about Alina's life and a little girl that's in the spotlight that wasn't asking to be in the spotlight. And God just kind of shined the spotlight on her. And it talks about the fun stuff of that, and then also the hard things with that. And, you know, all the things that come with being thrust into the spotlight as a little girl. And so there's three books in that series now. And we're actually spinning off and doing another three books on the Daniel sisters, which there were four Daniel sisters. Alina was the oldest. And so we're spinning off a couple more books and kind of a sister series to that. So pretty excited about that as well.
That's so fun.
Mallory Winston is the name. Mallory Winston.
Mallory Winston. That's so
such a character name, right?
So, it is. Yeah. That's so fun. What role has prayer played in your lives as you raised your girls?
Yeah, it's been huge for us. My parents instilled prayer in me really on in life, and so did Winter. So we came into marriage really wanting to be deeply invested in prayer. And I wouldn't say that we were mature in our ability to pray. I wouldn't even say that, because, you know, I was talking to a buddy of mine yesterday that prayer takes practice just like anything else. Like, just like in marriage, like it's a relationship, and communicating with your spouse can be really difficult early on and later. So it's just like it's constant practice, constant effort. And that's not to say that it's got to be difficult, but it does take practice. And so for Winter and I, we practiced prayer really, really early on. We prayed for our girls, even before they were born, for each of our girls before they were born. We prayed about their futures. We prayed about their husbands. We prayed about everything and anything you can think of topically that we would want to pray for our girls about. We prayed for them. And one of the neat things and opportunities we had is Winter, when her ministry was kind of beginning, we actually did a 30-day prayer journey, like 30 days of praying for our girls and your girls, because we're doing it with others. What was funny is we didn't realize how much work it was to create a prayer every day for 30 days. And so we just said we'd do it before we actually did it. And so we did this 30-day prayer journey that's everything from praying for your daughter's relationship with God, to praying for her husband, to praying for her future, and all kinds of topics. And God would actually take that prayer and turn that prayer into a book. So we have a book called She Is Yours, Trusting God As You Raise the Girl He Gave You, which is all based on kind of the main prayer of that book, which was the prayer we wrote as the opener. It's been massive for us. And even now, like, I feel like our family with our loss is running off of prayer from others, like thousands of people, many of whom we know and many of whom we don't know. Like, I just met you today. And to hear that you've been praying for us, I'm not surprised, because God has met us every single day, miracle after miracle, many miracles and major miracles. Prayer was really important to us, still is. I honestly say, you know, the Bible in Hebrews talks about that, you know, we've got this great cloud of witnesses. Like, I have this sense that Winter is in heaven, and she's like, just like Jesus is interceding on our behalf in heaven, that Winter is there, like, in this great cloud of witnesses, like, still offering up conversations to God. I don't know what that looks like theologically, but I just know that she's still alive and well, and that she's with Jesus, and that she can be having conversations with Jesus about us. It's really inspiring to think about.
Well, I don't know if you've seen this, but on Amazon, if you go to my book, Brave Moms, Brave Kids, the customers often purchase this book and this book together. Mm-hmm. It's one of the options. And since the beginning of my book, your and Winter's book, She Is Yours, has always been partnered with mine. And
that's really cool.
It is so, I don't know why Amazon has done that, but it has, I mean, I was able to meet Winter, so I had that friendship there, but it's always left me praying for your family. And I remember hearing on July 25th, 2018, that God had called Winter home the day before. And I'm sure this has been a really heartbreaking, heart-wrenching time, but you and the girls are committed to seeing for girls like you and Winter's ministry continue. Tell me about that decision and what you're hoping and what you're praying for right now.
Yeah, and I'll probably get a little bit emotional talking about it, but, you know, one of my biggest disappointments in my life was not necessarily thinking that God's plans were as grand as they were for Winter, like, early on. Like, I thought, like, me being, like, this immature man was, like, you know, like, the world revolves around me. And, you know, and I wouldn't say that, but, like, I had, like, this early on in marriage, like, this sense that God was calling me to something and that Winter was kind of there to support me. And one of the things that I've discovered is that a lot of my life over the last 15 years was literally supporting this massive giant in the kingdom of God. So for me, you know, one of the greatest joys I've had, and God's called me to a role of supporting ministries. I've supported ministries for really all of my marriage. I supported Anthony Evans Jr. I was his manager. I ran Tony Evans National Ministry, ran his radio broadcast ministry. And so what I didn't realize at the time, that God was building muscle in me to really support my wife's ministry and what she does well. I was maturing all this time and realizing, like, oh my goodness, like, I married a giant in the kingdom of God, and this actually isn't about me at all. And not to say that God doesn't have plans for me, but a big part of his plans for me was building me to help sustain and grow and be a part of a ministry, like, for girls like you. And so the day that Winter died, I just remember having a lot of different thoughts. And I don't know if you know the Enneagram, but I'm a 3 on the Enneagram, which means I'm, like, an achiever. And so my mind was just going with, like, what does this mean for my family? We were moving to Nashville for a role that I have as a pastor now. And I wasn't sure what we were going to do. Like, do we stay in Dallas where we were at the time? Because we had already bought a house in Nashville, but we were back in Dallas where we lived. And so do we move? And what does this look like? But the one thing that I knew abundantly clear was that For Girls Like You was going to go on. Like, Winter had built and created a ministry for girls and their parents that really outgrew her, like the brand of For Girls Like You. There are many readers of her books and her resources that knew very little about her, if anything about her at all. And so for me to be able to continue that legacy, like I knew that needed to happen. I'll be honest with you. I've been very, I think, fearful about it. God would just be really good. And he would just, you know, in the middle of my fear, in the middle of my anxiety about how do we do this without Winter. And I've run ministry, so I know the back end of that. But I knew that I wasn't called to be this face of For Girls Like You. You know, so what does this look like? And I remember being at IF Gathering, actually, and just still having a little bit of this tinge of worry and anxiety. I'd worked through a lot of it. And I remember mom after mom walking up to me saying at our resource table, like, I'm so glad that you're continuing this because there's nothing like it. We need this. We need this magazine. We need these resources. And God would just send me confirmation after confirmation. And in addition to that, he would send me people that would just say, hey, we want to be a part of helping you do that. Can we put you on our podcast or put you on our radio program or whatever it is? And really in tandem with that was our marriage book coming out, that God's just, he's already created the path. And all I need to do is just kind of keep my foot one in front of the other in the light and just trust that he's got it. But, and now like he sent a team of people that I knew not of that are just have surrounded me and are some are volunteering, some are working in the ministry. It's just incredible to just see the people and the skill set that he's brought around me to help continue this. The other piece of that is I read a prayer. This is really important, specifically for this podcast. I read a prayer that Winter wrote. Yeah, well, 2 weeks after she died in August, I read a prayer. And sorry, I'm all sniffly because I'm crying here. That she had written back in August of 2016. I read it in August of 2018. And the prayer said, dear God, thank you for Girls Like You and what it's become, but I'm getting weary of the work. Would you show me a path forward, whether it be selling the magazine or partnering with a ministry or dissolving it altogether? She said, I wait in anticipation for your answer. In Jesus' name, amen. And she wrote that prayer in her journal, and I would read it 2 years later. And I remember like Winter was publishing books, and it'd gotten so busy, and she was still laboring doing all this on her own. Well, a year from that prayer, we'd be sitting with Harvest House, our publisher, with Bob Hawkins. And I'd say to Bob, hey, do you know anybody in the publishing business that would be interested in the magazine? You know, we're just looking for like some kind of a partner or somebody that would be interested. And he says, well, I don't know anybody, but his VP said, oh, well, there's this woman, Roberta, that Roberta actually ran the Gaithers magazine. And Roberta's looking for something now because that had kind of run its course and that she was moving on. And let's say March of 2018, a few months before Winter passed, we would release our first newly branded magazine with Roberta. And now Roberta is the editor-in-chief of the magazine, and she worked on 3 issues with Winter before Winter passed. If Roberta wasn't already in place and God hadn't answered that prayer for Winter, this would not be going on. And so I just look at God's providence, his hand in all of this, and it's like it's impossible for me not to see his hand at work.
I have chills all over just imagining that our God hears when we pray these prayers, and he knows the path that's ahead of us. Yeah. 2 weeks before Winter went to be with the Lord, she and I were exchanging emails about getting onto this podcast and getting to talk to Winter. And so in his divine orchestration, we were already talking. So what makes this relationship between Moms in Prayer and For Girls Like You such a good fit?
I think the reality that Winter and I know and that we've tried to instill as a core value in our family is literally our connection to God is the only thing that really matters. And you know, the Bible talks about, you know, that a man can kind of create plans, but it's really God that sets the course. And so regardless of what mom is listening or if some dads are listening in, like your prayers are the most important thing that you have. And as a ministry, like we want to trumpet that with everything that we do, everything that we say, because there's a prayer in my bedroom right now that Winter wrote. It's called God Work. And the prayer, I can't remember the scripture, it's in John, but it's talking about how that no one would look at the work that God's done in our family and credit it to us at all, but really that they would credit it to God. They would see the work and call it God Work, essentially. And that's really our ministry. That's who we are, is that we're a family that's prayed and trusted God for big things. We had no idea what those big things are, and he's revealed them. But every single person that's listening right now, like God has a specifically God-ordained God work for them and their family. And their connection to him is going to be the way that they get there. It's nothing else. Like it's nothing more than that. God opens doors. God closes doors. God makes resources available. God protects. God does it all. And so in the good and the bad, like even like, you know, because I'd like to say if you pray that everything turns out great. But I mean, my life is a shining example. That's not true. But even what the beautiful thing is, there's this paradox for the believer. Like when you think about joy and you think about sorrow, you have these two things. For the believer, it's God that actually, his grace that actually narrows that margin between sorrow and joy. So I can sit in sorrow and joy right now and just, and know that God is in both of those things. And so your connection to God is what bridges the divide between joy and sorrow and chaos and peace and like all these different things that have to coexist in our world because it's just the way the world is. And so I just think that, you know, we're all about prayer as a ministry. You guys are obviously all about prayer. And I'm just really grateful for the partnership, really grateful for the fact that you guys would just trust us with your audience. It's really a big deal for me. So I'm really thankful.
Well, we know that it's difficult to get resources for our teen girls, tween girls, that point them towards Jesus. And like Winter had discovered, there is no difference between secular and sacred. And we need ways to point our girls to that. I love that God had already began that and that now we get to come alongside you and pray, learn to train people how to pray for their girls effectively and strategically, which is, I know, both of your hearts for the girls involved in both of our audiences.
Yeah, the most beautiful thing about in Winter's passing, you know, the last, you know, we had met with Harvest House in May of 2018, and I knew they were going to ask us, you know, what's next? What are you thinking? And Winter told me before we got there, she said, there's only really one thing I want to do that I feel like I've exhausted the resources that I've been building for girls on my own. And it wasn't like she was going to stop writing, but she didn't have like a passion deep inside of her, except to write a story. But the last book that she was writing the night that she passed away was I Am Yours, a prayer book for girls. And that comes out in September. But her heart was prayer. Yeah, it's crazy. And she was about 80% done. And what's really awesome is Winter was this girl that could care less about deadlines and didn't feel pressure and wasn't a people pleaser. And I'm like, we got to get this book done. We got to get this book done. And she's just like, it'll be fine. It'll get done. And I just trust that the 80% of what she completed was what she was called to complete. And then the editor that would come alongside of her to grab other ideas and other things, and even build a table of contents, like things like that, that Winter just knew that God could provide that too. And so she left this earth completing the work that God had. You know, there's a verse in Acts, it's Acts 13:36, and it says that David served the purposes of God for his generation, and then he fell asleep. And one of the beautiful things for me is I look at Winter's life, and much like David, like God had a very specific purpose for her. And Winter served. One of the reasons I can be really confident about her leaving is that I had this sense that Winter served the purposes of God for her generation before she fell asleep. And that God was like, okay, like you've completed your work. And I've got questions. I've got four daughters that are all 14 years of age and under, and I don't know why God would take their mom away. Like, it's not like I'm like looking at this, like this is just a perfect situation. But I do trust that, like, I just look at the body of work that God had, even in her raising her girls and getting her girls like to this age of what I would call almost like this age of accountability, where like all of my girls trust Jesus. Like at this point, all of our girls were baptized before she passed away, and she won't see weddings, and she won't, or at least she won't see weddings and graduations from this side of eternity. But I just sense that like the work that God had created her to do, she did. And even like the life that she wanted for her girls, she's well documented. So they'll never question what she wanted for them. It's well documented in talks and in books and in podcasts and everything else. I'm really grateful for that.
I think you can still even watch Winter's funeral service or memorial service online, which is powerful. And thank you for making that possible too, for those of us who are scattered across the nation. Jonathan, we're excited to be involved with For Girls Like You and to run alongside and pray and cheer you on. But how can we, our crazy moms in every state and all these countries, how can we narrow down on the Pitts family and pray for you and the girls right now?
For me, because I have this, you know, people have a tendency to either stay in the past in grief or run forward as fast as they can away from it. And my counselor said that God is in the present and you can only really experience him in the present, like where you are right now. So for me, just prayer that I would just stay present every day in my own grief with my girls to be there for them in their grief, even in the ministry, like not get so worried about the future, or, you know, whatever, like that God would just keep me in the present and that I would just see him, sense him, trust him in the present. For my girls, that God would just continue to surround them with surrogate everything they need. Like my sister moved in with me Labor Day weekend, and she has been a force to be reckoned with for my girls. They trust her implicitly. They respect her. She loves them. There's no way I could pastor and travel and basically run two ministries simultaneously without her. And so God's already sent her. So she's like a surrogate mom for them. And it's been amazing. But we just need more of that, more of that, because Winter is a huge loss for them. So that God would just continue to provide for them. And then just for our ministry, that God would just kind of help us see every step of the way, and that we would just trust him, that we'd walk through the doors that God would open, and that we'd trust that when he closes the door, it's supposed to be closed. And that we would just walk with him and just see a good God just do everything that he wants to do. So, yeah, that's it. But we're thankful for the prayers that have already, I know many people have already been praying for us that are listening probably, but just really grateful that you would come alongside us and pray for us. It's a big deal.
Well, expect a tidal wave of praying moms, praying for those four beautiful girls. Jonathan, as we wrap up our time together, would you mind praying for us?
Sure.
Praying for the moms that are listening who have these girls in their lives that they don't necessarily know what to do with, but as we trust them. Great.
Yeah. Father, I just, Lord, can attest to the fact that you're a good God, and that even regardless of our circumstances, God, that all of our contentment, Lord, comes in knowing and serving you. And so, Lord, I pray, I don't know where these moms are, like what country they're in, God, or what circumstances they're going through, Lord, but I do know the God that's with them in it, in all of it. And so I pray for them, Lord, that you would just give them just a passion and a deep desire, Lord, just to continue to seek you first, God. And as they seek you first, Lord, to see your kingdom coming on this earth, but not just generally, Lord, but your kingdom coming on this earth, Lord, for them and for their girls and for their families. Lord, they would trust you for big things. And Lord, as they trust you for big things, that as moms that are praying for their sons and for their daughters and for their marriages and for their families and for their work situations and for the ministries that they serve in, God, that they would just experience you in a way, Lord, that would just deepen their trust and deepen their faith in a good God. Lord, we love you, Lord. We commit all of our lives to you. We thank you, Jesus, just for just the constant reminders, Lord, of your proximity to us, Lord, your closeness to us and your passion for us, Lord. We love you. We trust you. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
And Father, I just want to pray for Jonathan and the girls. Lord, we commit them to you, and we ask that you would continue to build them up, bind up their wounds, and be close beside them. Lord, we do pray, just like Jonathan asked, that you would bring in compassion and love and people to come alongside and nurture those girls and Jonathan and to point them to Jesus. Thank you for Winter's life and the legacy that she's left. Father, we pray that that legacy would closely abide with the girls, that heart to seek you and to serve you with all their might, with all their heart, with all their strength. And Lord, I just pray, thanking you for the blessing of time together with Jonathan today. Ask that you would establish the work of his hands and be real near to him. In Jesus' precious name, amen.
Amen.
Hey, let's not quit praying for those four beautiful girls and Jonathan as they learn to live right now in the present with their grief and their joy. It's been so fun to have you here on today's podcast. I know you're going to want to go see a picture of the Pitts family, get all the resources that Jonathan talked about today. You can do this on the website at momsinprayer.org/blog. I know you are going to love the next episode of the Moms in Prayer podcast, so we will see you there next week. Moms are making the difference, friends. Moms who pray down the tracks of their kids' lives, even after they've gone home. Moms just like you. See you next week.